This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This episode of Witching Hour is brought to you by the Ready or Not Go-To Guides, created by us, Lou and Loz. Somehow it's 2025, and with that, you might be returning to paid work and starting to think about what that looks like. And that's exactly why we made the Ready or Not Go-To Guides, tackling breastfeeding and returning to work, postpartum and return to work planning, and childcare 101. Our guides are beautiful, easy to read, and filled to the brim with expert information. Take the guesswork out of returning to paid work and use the wisdom that we've learned from over 100 interviews with working mums. Get the guides now for $29 individually or $69 as a trio at readyornot.au. Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, the show by Ready or Not that looks at what's exciting, delighting, intriguing and frustrating us when it comes to making work work. I'm Lou.
And I'm Loz, kicking things off with a good news story. Spain grants single parents the same amount of leave as couples. So single parents can now claim the full amount of paid leave allocated to both parents in a couple, 16 weeks for each parent. For single parents, that comes to 32 weeks of paid leave. Amazing news story, but it kind of surprised me. I was like, I'm so surprised this isn't already happening. Is the cost of a kid? It's not the cost for each parent. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it's also like a timeline of, well, we're imagining that this is how long we're paying for someone to look after the kid. So like whether it's single or couple, you'd think you'd get the same timeline. So I'm very glad that they have, because
Jesus
Christ, like what used to happen for single parents after 16 weeks, you'd get on your merry way. Wowee. I'm sure a lot of people face that.
That would be horrid.
That would be really hard. Taking our hat off to anyone that's done that. Please DM me if you have. I'd love to interview you if you're a single parent that had to go back to work what we'd call pretty quickly. Good on you, Spain. It's like all these things. We're like, good on you. Why wasn't it already in existence? Yeah. But we're going to say good on you, Spain. Hey, Lozzie, just quickly, I feel like we've spoken about this off air more than on air lately. How many weeks are you? How are you feeling? Lay the land out for us, Dalzy.
Yeah, so I'm 25.
Holy shit. That's actually more than I would have guessed. You are trucking along to your third trimester.
Yeah, I'm feeling really tired, as in I look tired today, but I just feel worn out. And I was actually really reflecting on this the other day. How do I say this in a way that's nice? I feel for the first time in my life like that I'm aging. Have you ever had that like moment?
Both pregnancies I felt that, but particularly with Posey, I was like, oh, the aging process is thrust upon me and I can't do anything about it.
But mentally, I also think I'm in this phase of my life where I feel the best I have mentally. I almost feel youngest mentally because I'm like, oh, I've got all this stuff in control. I know my shit. I'm confident in myself.
I can't believe how much you do a week. Like sometimes when I complain, I'm like, fuck, you must think I'm a weak bitch because you do that much.
No, not like that at all. But the other day, example, I bent down to talk to somebody at work, like at their desk, and both of my knees cracked. I was like, wow.
Know it well.
Feeling old. And then I looked in the mirror the other day and I had this prominent gray hair. And then I was another one. I was reaching to get something and I made that noise our parents make, like, ugh.
Oh, my God. I do that all the time and I have to stop myself because it's so dramatic. But I go, ugh, because I've got such a bad back, but I haven't been back to the physio for it. It's like debilitatingly bad. It's ridiculous. And mum's like, just book back in with the physio. But I do that noise every time I lean down.
It reminds me of my parents, like aging people.
And then
I looked at myself in the mirror the other day. I had an OB appointment for my scan. And I mean, there was a few questions that he had, but I looked at myself after that scan and I was like, wow, I don't like mentally feel old, but
you're not
I
spiritually
feel,
old.
No,
physically, maybe
body,
on the way.
I'm like, oh my God.
Pregnancy like I feel does that too, tired. Though, don't forget, because your body's literally stretching and softening for this baby to come out. So I feel like that sets you up to not feel strong, and we probably associate strength with vitality and youth. So
So I feel like pregnancy does make it worse for you. Another interesting thing, you and I are both blonde and we obviously get color put in our hair.
Yeah.
I'm always intrigued to know how many grays I actually have because I feel like we get away with it more, right? Like when your hair's freshly colored, the grays in amongst that, you can't really tell because blonde, gray, they're not too dissimilar. I would love to know how gray I actually am because brunettes find this out much quicker, which I'm sympathetic of if you don't like the grays.
It's only been in the last year and I said to my hairdresser, do I have a grey hair there? And he said very politely, yeah, but it's so minor, you can't even see it. I was like, I knew it. I've seen that little prick of a thing pop up. Also have to laugh. Someone at work said to me the other day, which was the sweetest thing ever. She's so lovely. She said, oh, I love this new balayage kind of look. I was like, oh, doll.
Unintentional.
I don't have balayage. I'm over here to go to the hairdresser.
Oh, that is so good.
Anyway, that's my update. I am at a bit of a conundrum with my body where I do feel old.
You're feeling it a bit. Are you feeling overwhelmed or stressed or feeling pretty good in that department? Like in terms of just like your plate's very full and I'm not trying to make you stressed, but I'm just interested to know for other people going through that, how you're handling it, how you feel, blah, blah, blah.
Look, I'm okay. This is the third time I've done it. So I feel far more prepared in terms of things. The sleeping arrangements situation is front of mind for me at the moment and I'm a fixator. So once I think of something, it needs to be done immediately. I can't wait. I'm torn between whether or not I buy bunk beds now and transition Zabe from a cot to a bunk bed, even though he's far too young and he's showing no signs of wanting to get out of a cot. Or do I just do the classic middle child thing and just pick up his cot and put it in my daughter's room, like Sienna's room?
Or I can chuck it in Sienna's room. I mean, you know way more than me, but I've been thinking about the bunk bed thing too because we're in a three-bedroom house and eventually I'd like to put the kids in together and give them an extra space to play so that all of their crap isn't always in the living room. And I was thinking, Rosie's not going to be old enough to be safe around a bunk bed for so long. Like Ray's not even there yet, I don't reckon. You know what I mean? Like imagine Zave climbing halfway and then being like, huh? Where am I? It's the middle of the night.
I know. These are all the things that I'm thinking about, but the logical part is out the door because we don't have the space, as in it's the space that's stressing me out.
Well, you're the same. You're a three-bedder too. So you're like, you've got to make that, but yours is an actual necessity because there's another baby coming, whereas I'm just talking about it'd be nice to have another place.
And then, you know, so everyone's like, well, the baby will be in your room and you've got the time. I'm like, I can't operate like that. Baby's in our room for a year. I need to know it's now. Still,
like there's a finish line normally. Yeah. Like I know some people co-sleep for longer than that, but like you and I are like 6 months or you're probably a little bit less even of having them.
I can't do it. I've tried.
Who knows? Totally. Well, watch this space.
That's where my mind's
at. I'm really interested to see where you're at. I mean, you know better than me, but I've been having that bunk thought and my thing is like, what age is Posey safe with it? I'm not sure. Maybe people could tell us. Damn.
Probably never. I still remember as a child falling off the top bunk.
That's what I've been thinking, like even like at five.
And I was like, hello?
Not even as a toddler.
Help me.
I have broken my back and in 30 years' time, I'm going to be complaining and slouching over and making that noise that my parents used to make.
Yeah, I'm making it now. Don't worry.
Exactly. It was a self-fulfilling prophecy
and
from falling out of bed.
For you, this week you go on your caravan trip.
I do. I leave on Friday. It's wild. So unprepared. It's very exciting though.
Are you excited?
What's to do? I'm very excited. There's a lot to do between now and then, just like little packing things. And you know with kids, like, you know when you used to earn You know when you used to go away on a holiday, you could sort of pack really far in advance and just know the things that you can't put in yet. You can't really do that with kids. You can't like hide their favorite toy. I mean, you could, but maybe I'm lazy or can't be bothered with the argument. But I can't be bothered with all of the arguments that would come up with like Ray's favorite t-shirts not being there, his favorite toys not being there. So you can't really pack that far out. So that's an interesting one. But anyway, I'll get there. I actually have two more updates for you. Firstly, period undies. Really enjoying those. I have tried a moon cup. Didn't work for me, which surprises me because I'm not icky with those things, but I really couldn't get it in there properly. And that's not because the area is tight. It's pushed out two children. But just didn't quite work for me. Period undies, though. I bought them during postpartum and I wore them when I started to bleed less with Posey. But even day one, they're actually working pretty well on my period, which has come back with a vengeance. I'm someone that gets it back quite late. I think my first one was a year postpartum, so I've had two or three now. I've had two now, yeah. And I'm into them, working well for anyone that's trying something that's not tampons. Next up, you know how recently we were talking about me finding a job and I'm looking at all these different avenues. I'm not sure if I want to freelance. It just feels too stressful. Like, I feel like I want to keep all my sort of creative, chaotic energy for Radio or Not and find something a little bit more streamlined for the rest of my paid work. Anyway, I think we spoke about it on the Baby Brain podcast, but not ours, that I was even considering going to the local bookshop and just being like, that's my, like, a passion of mine.
Without it's very sort of, you.
Without the very strain. You. Well, anyway, I emailed my resume to the local bookshop that I love. And she said, I don't have a position, but your resume is really impressive. I've sent it on to like a publisher's partner that we work with. And I think they're looking for someone. So there's this local guy who started like this sort of creative business that he worked in radio for 20 years. I won't say much about it yet, just in case it all falls through. But the moral of the story I will get to. But basically he's, yeah, had his huge background in radio, which obviously really interests me. And he started like a creative sort of consultancy business for big businesses and broadcast networks is my understanding so far. Anyway, meeting up with him today because he needs help this year and he's got all these big plans, lives in the same suburb as me. And it made me think of something that you always say, Lozzie, which is if you don't ask, you don't get.
Yeah.
Who knows if it will work out, but it's just opened a door for me, which is amazing. And it seems like he's very like-minded. And also it brings up another thing that you always say and that I completely agree with, which is that sometimes we need to take the ego out of these things. It was like a bit of an ego exercise being like, oh, are you sure you don't want to work as a producer? Are you sure you want to work in a bookshop? And I was like, no, I'd bloody love to work in a bookshop. If I didn't take the ego out of that, I would never have had this opportunity. So I'll let you know how that goes, but I'm meeting up with him today and that will be interesting. And lastly, you know, last week how we were talking about judgment in motherhood and how people can't help themselves? Well, we got a few good DMs about this and I'm going to share a few. Oh my God, this ep was stunning. Reminded me of a time that I shared a story asking other business owners what they do to reduce their workload in terms of hiring a personal assistant or a virtual assistant. Because my work time is limited with my bub in care a few days a week. One person replied saying something along the lines of, I managed to run my six-figure business while keeping my children out of daycare. You just have to learn better ways to work while they're home. Like, thanks. So helpful with those faces that are like melting.
Yeah.
Judgy. This drives me nuts. And it's so obvious for all the mums I follow on socials that this is happening in their DMs. Another cracker episode today. I love your passion. It's so infectious. I think you really hit the nail on the head in terms of mum shaming. So often it's the unspoken rules and expectations that mothers have on themselves that can lead us to be critical of others. Usually if we don't agree with something another mum is doing, it's because it feels uncomfortable or unsafe for us because of these rules we have set, whether consciously or not. We can also feel a sense of rejection when someone doesn't agree with our rules, which I think is so true.
Spot on.
I also think because society has traditionally placed so much value on our worth as women being tied to how good of a mother we are, there can be so much pressure to feel like we are getting it right to feel worthy. Plus, some people are just digs. Love your content. That's very well said, especially the compliments to us. And I love this last one, Lozzie, because it's very big to admit. And I think in some small way, maybe not as publicly, we have all been here. I'm going to really out myself here. I have found myself making judgmental comments on other mums' posts or reels and quickly deleting them when I come to my senses. It doesn't come from entitlement for me, or maybe it does. It comes from depression, self-judgment, and jealousy. For example, a mother posting about sleep training, I'm jealous because I'm not sleeping. Or a mother posting about having a nanny, I'm jealous because I can't afford one. A mother posting about formula feeding, I'm judging her because I judge myself so harshly for the same thing. That judgment is always a reflection of myself and where I'm at, not of what another mother is doing. I'm not saying at all that it's justified, it's not, but I've done it. I think it comes, as always, down to mums needing more support. If we are all wrapped up in more love, more understanding, more grace, we can probably more readily offer that to our fellow mums. I think hear, hear, and I'm really impressed with that person for admitting what some of us find hard to. While I haven't left the comments, I've definitely made the judgments, and normally it's a reflection of what I'm not doing. I actually said to her back, like, I have in the past judged mums that make really healthy food for their babies, and I've had to really interrogate that and say, why am I annoyed at people for looking after the health of their child? Let them live. If they want to make healthy snacks, gorgeous. What it really is, because I feel bad that I don't do it more often.
Yeah.
So that is that. And speaking of old, I just noticed that the torch is on my phone. We'll turn that off.
I hate when that happens. Oh, my gosh.
We'll turn that off. That makes me feel like a 70-year-old. And we'll keep going. What are we talking about today? Just you wait. Once upon a time, we talked about the as a mum being the worst three words a mum can utter. I posit that just you wait might be the only three words that trump that. We're going to talk about some of the more negative parts of just you wait, and then we're going to end on some positives for anyone out there that's either growing their family, starting their family, thinking of starting their family. We've got you covered. And then, Lozzie, two-thirds of women feel unable to switch off from work. Don't know that. What would that be like? Here's why. Take it away, my friend.
Two-thirds of women feel unable to switch off from work, and here's why. So let's dive into why so many women find it tough to switch off in the first place. A recent article from ABC News highlights that about two-thirds of women feel unable to disconnect from their jobs. That's a very high number. One major culprit, our always-on digital culture, which has just astronomically boomed since COVID. So with smartphones and constant connectivity, it has become incredibly challenging to draw the line between work and personal time. I don't know about you, Lou, but I check my phone, as in a member of my team said to me the other day, I have a separate work phone. You're allowed a separate work phone at my work. Or they offer it to you. I was like, what a waste. Like, I'm never going to use that. She's like, I have a separate work phone so that I don't check my emails. And part of me thinks to myself, if I didn't have my emails on my phone, it would cause a greater sense of anxiety.
My chest literally feels tight thinking about that. Yeah, I need to check it, which is bad. Like, you and I both honestly need therapy on how to stop that, but I need to check it for my mental health. Otherwise, I'd go mad.
Me too. Because if I came back, even from leave, if I'm on leave, I just once or twice a day, maybe a couple of times, I just flick through and file and be like, okay, to do when I get back, that's with this person. Otherwise, when I get back from leave, I have like 800 emails and my first day back is so unrelaxing that I'm like, I need to go on leave again. This is so stressful.
I'd rather check it as I go. It's even like in the personal life stuff too, of like leaving messages from friends all day. Like, that would stress me out, of being like, I'll write back to them all at 7 p.m. when the kids are in bed. Like, I just can't do it. Otherwise, it will never happen.
This is why I voice memo so frequently. My mind at the moment is so busy and also just so mushy. And I really will say this time around, I know I've said it before, it's a crock of crap, but I do think some form of hormone is just not working correctly on me. That if I don't voice memo someone immediately after they message me, it's in the abyss.
It's 1 minute or 1 business week.
I'm like, I'm never responding.
I either love you so much that I respond. This is what it looks like. I love any of my friends that message me, but I either look like I love you so much that I'm obsessed with you and I'll write back within 30 seconds, or you think that I literally hate you because I write back in 30 days.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at, which is unusual for me, to be honest.
Yeah.
So there's also the issue of unequal, which we've spoken about before, distribution of household responsibilities. So even as more women take on demanding careers, many still shoulder the lion's share of chores and childcare at home. This double duty leaves little room for downtime. I mean, goes without saying.
Yeah, makes the brain more chaotic.
Exactly. Interestingly, workplace culture plays a significant role too. So a study found that about 24% of Australians are classified as work addicts, with women being more susceptible. High expectations and demanding environments can make it really hard to unplug, leading to stress and burnout. So what's the takeaway? It is a mix of our tech habits, societal norms and workplace pressures that are making it difficult for women to truly switch off. Recognizing these factors is obviously the first step towards finding a better balance. Does balance exist, number one? But also, when was the last time, Lou, that you fully switched off? So no emails, no mental to-do lists, no texting your friends back straight away. Like, when have you actually thought to yourself, okay, I'm going to sit here and just be at peace with the inner workings of my own mind?
Oh, never. Literally never.
Yeah, I don't think I ever have.
And I'm also not one of those people that can sort of hit the pillow without reading a book or something to get to sleep. Like, that's always been my biggest problem. My mind is active. Like, as a kid, I always wanted to jump into the bed of one of my brothers, which I know sounds very strange when I put it like that, but I always had to be with someone or near action. And like, I used to study, I was very studious, but I used to take my notebook and all of my textbooks to the dining room table. Like, I always needed action. I always needed to be on. I always needed to be around people. My brain doesn't stop. I actually want to book in with a psychologist for monthly, like, mental maintenance to talk about these exact sorts of things, because I am living in a state where I'm in, like, triggering my, I think, parasympathetic nervous system to always be on, and it's stressful. And I think it in your body reacts more stressfully than it does in your mind, but it feels the same anyway. So it's just completely stressful. So my answer to your question is, if I'm deathly hungover, which is incredibly rare, or in a deep state of sleep, non-REM, REM, whatever the fuck that one is, they're the only two times that I am fully switched off. And even if I do have a really bad hangover, I'm probably just saying, why am I me on repeat in my head? What about you?
I am not sure that I've ever really fully switched off. I'm one of those people that I'm able to enjoy like a holiday or a meditation session. But even I've tried meditation so many times. I remember the only time I actually enjoyed it, and I probably should try it again, was when someone said, like, in the meditation, it's okay to have thoughts, let them come in, but then also like give them permission to exit.
I actually used to say that in yoga, like catch it like a ball and throw it away, which obviously I'm proving that I'm not very good at. Do as I say and not as I do.
But then my mind would be like this, like, oh, what am I going to eat for dinner tomorrow? And then I'd let it go and be like, should I buy chicken or beef? What kind of seasoning should I put on that? Oh, I saw that seasoning on the telly the other day. Should I try that? Like, do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, yes, I'm letting all those, I'm not finishing what that meal is going to look like in my mind. It never gets completed, but it doesn't stop all those thoughts coming.
Totally. I don't know how you stop. Like, both of our husbands genuinely are able to. Like, they're like genetic makeup, like the way they were brought into this world. Even if they both became the primary caregivers tomorrow, even if they were able to hold pregnancies tomorrow and breastfeed and take the leave, they would still find a way to switch off. Maybe not as much, but they would be able to switch off their minds. What is it? How do we do that?
Do you know what I think it is? I think it's a lack of expectation on yourself. So here's another classic example. On a Thursday when Ryan is home, well, he's not home, but when he's not traveling, he drops the kids at kindy. So the other day I was like, I'm going to work. I'm going to try and get there earlier, which didn't happen. But he's like, yeah, no problem. Ryan woke up late. I'm like, what? How are you waking up late, mate? Like, you got to get these kids out the door by like 5 to 8. Otherwise you're not going to make your meetings. Like, you won't be at work on time. He woke up late. He potted around. And then instinctively I was like, he's going to be late. So then I did the things that the kids needed to do. So like I was like, I'll help with the lunchbox. I'm up and ready, which actually then delayed me being early. And then Ryan was like, all right, kids. All right, let's go. We've got to go. I'm like, duh, they haven't eaten breakfast yet. He's like, no breakfast today. No one's eating breakfast. Yeah, everyone in the car.
You'll just eat breakfast at kinder. They'll eat breakfast at kinder or whatever.
And I was like, no, Ryan, like, Sienna's going to need to eat breakfast because I pack her lunch. And he's like, she's going to have to dig into her snacks. Like, she'll survive. I'm like, how does your mind operate like that?
Yeah. But I actually am with him a bit.
But I can't. Yeah.
See, I actually can in some small ways like that. And I remember one of my earliest interviews on Ready or Not was with a lady named Claire, who's a midwife. And she said that one of her big things, she was a single mum for a period of time. And she was like, I've just got to let that go. If they are sleeping in, I just need to wake them up. And I'm not giving them breakfast that morning because I need to be at work at this time. And it's such a big thing trying to let go. But it is, it does have its merit.
I can't let it go.
Like, you pack an
Ryan's
extra
like,
banana, an extra.
That's what he said.
Whatever. Yeah.
He's like, however. Look, he's like, they're at kindy. He's like, if they're hungry, they'll find somebody else's lunchbox. I'm like, oh my God.
You're like, that is my worst nightmare.
I'm like, no.
That's probably where I draw the line too. Let's not steal from other kids whose parents diligently packed their lunchbox.
That's bad. I do have a secondary question for you. When I was really thinking about this always on, and I was like, wow, my mind genuinely is like that. Do you think it is because we have such a digital culture, which is only going to get worse, by the way? So all of these stats are saying that the biggest thing in like 30 years' time is going to be human interaction because everything, not everything, but so many things will be automated. There's AI, there's all these technology games, like kids are really into gaming stimulation as opposed to like outdoor stimulation, et cetera. Or do you think it's something deeper like guilt or proving our worth? Because you do have to remember, like we haven't, I know like we always say, oh, women in the workplace, whatever. It really hasn't been a huge movement up until the last 40 or 50 years. Before that, it was like a non-thing, which when you look at like history going back, it's not that long. Like we've come a long way in a short period of time. It doesn't feel like that, but we have when you look at like women weren't working in like the very few women were like working in the 1950s. Like it was a movement really from the 1970s.
I thought about this a lot last night. I hate to go too deep in the weeds of like gender norms and society and all of that because we know that I love that shit. But I posit that it's a few things. One thing is, as you say, we have not always had and still don't to this day have equal representation and bias in the workplace. So we're on the back foot with that anyway. So we're trying harder because we feel like we have to. We just have to try harder at this stage, unfortunately. There's no real way around that. Another piece of this puzzle, I reckon it's also a bit of that good girl thing. Girls are more likely to be stacking the dishes after a family dinner than more likely to be tidying up, helping their mothers, all of those things. They're proving their worth from such a young age and they're always there to be that person to pick up some slack. I think that can really translate into both motherhood and work. I have some friends and it's always the ones that are more organized and really willing to help. I'll just say I've packed only bananas for my kids because I'm a bit like Rye in that way. Like I don't go above and beyond with lunchboxes and all of that stuff when we're leaving the house. I'll pack one water bottle for the two of them to share. I'll have some bananas. If I need to get some more stuff, I'll get it on the way. And then someone else will have a more gorgeous snack for their kid that my kid wants. And they're very quickly like trying to give it to them because my kid started crying. And I'm like, no, you don't need to. Like, that's fine. And I think in that moment, what my friend or family member is trying to do in that time is be as good as possible and as helpful as possible. And I think that's a very women programmed thing to always be on the front foot, always thinking. It comes back to this idea of being always on, right? Like your male friends at the park for a picnic aren't like, oh, what does your kid need? What does your kid need? It's your female friends that are trying to help you, unfortunately for us. And I think that there is definitely a part that men would feel too, and everyone in society would feel of this always on culture. But I think that the boundaries and feeling like you are allowed to switch off and that you're entitled to switch off is much harder for females because we are always trying to prove ourselves a little bit more, not helped by the fact that we're normally, as for parents in the working society, we're normally the ones that pull back. So not only are we on the back foot just by being a female in the workplace that has been running more for men in the last however long, we're also catching up. We're there 3 or 4 days a week as a general rule. So we're already playing catch up and it's fucking stressful. So I think it's a bit of everything. All of the above, my friend. What do you think?
No, I tend to agree. I couldn't agree more. I think you've nailed it. I wonder, I mean, we're very similar personalities like that. Both of our minds are very racy, but I do wonder.
We're very racy.
Listening. Really spicy. I do wonder if anybody's listening. How do you switch off? Like, give us some tips. Provide some inspiration for us because my life personally is only going to get more chaotic and hectic. Yeah. And I worry that I will get to the point and be like, this is like, what do I take off my plate? I don't want to take anything.
Does that force you to switch off? I don't know, in some ways. Like, I reckon the only two times that I fully switch off is if I'm with my kids at the beach, my family at the beach, and I leave my phone in the car purposefully. But actually, no, I'm going to find myself out here. I'm going to catch myself out. I don't switch off because I'm wondering if we've received good DMs or emails or that guest has done this or if you've done that or what you need from me in that moment. So actually, I'm totally finding myself out there. The only time that I truly switch off, I think, is if I'm doing a very specific activity with girlfriends or like my mum or even Hayden that takes me out of somewhere. Like I went to a wedding 2 weekends ago with some of my bestest friends. We were away from the kids for 2 whole nights. It was glorious. And I did really switch off then, but I switched off from the kids. I didn't switch off from Radio Not. I was still checking it every 5 seconds, looking at downloads, looking at DMs. So I was coming with an answer to that, but I've actually just totally backtracked.
I think
I don't know when I switch off.
We need to put it to the people. What are you doing that allows you to switch off?
I'll put up a poll for next episode. If you are a personality
like Lucy and I, because I've tried the meditation. Yeah. I've tried like walking, but I still listen to a podcast or something because I just can't not walk.
I'm the same. And also it's so hard because like if you've got that time, you're like, well, I might find something good for witching hour or whatever. I might learn in this time. So your time's so limited that you're like, I may as well try and find out something interesting while I'm on this walk.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm open. I'm open to trying new things.
Open to suggestions. One thing I want to do at the end of the caravan trip is, as you know, I've become obsessed with that book, The Guide to Becoming Alive by the people that run Flamingo Estate.
Yes.
They talk a lot about gardening and that. And I've decided I'm going to become a gardener.
God, I knew you would say this.
Yeah.
I knew you would say this.
So if you think that me crouching over and making that noise is bad now, wait till I get back and get in that garden. My back is going to become worse.
I have never understood this. Ryan loves gardening, and part of me feels like it's an excuse to get out of that house.
Well, that's part of it for me.
And into a space where like people have no interest in gardening and kind of leave you alone. Our aunties, I mean, not your aunt, my auntie, your mother-in-law is the same. She's like, it's so therapeutic. I love gardening. Yeah. I'm like, what about gardening? Do you enjoy picking weeds, bending over and crouching? Know what?
I think it's more the creating side. So if you think about, you're away from all of your devices, all of the chatter, all of the noise. You're out literally in nature, like, which is like, we know good for you to like, it's physically good for your being. And I agree with you, like weeding and all of that. Ew, maybe I'll leave that to Hayden. But I'm thinking about the romance of like creating.
You want to pot a flower bush.
Yeah.
That's what you want to do.
I want to do the credit. I want to be the daddy of the mummy daddy relationship. And I'll let daddy do the mummy stuff. He can do the weeding. It's like raising a child. I want the glory bits and I'll leave the shit bits.
You go.
Watch this space, whether it actually comes to fruition or not. But I think it's going to be good for my mental health.
No, I think it will. I can't wait to see your little herb garden.
You're tired now. Just you wait until your baby comes. Pregnancy insomnia is nothing compared to a newborn. You're never going to sleep again. What, your hips hurt now? Just you wait until you have your second kid. Everything is worse that time around. Your body really starts to collapse. You think you don't get time with your partner now? Just you wait until that third baby comes. You will never, ever go on a date again. Lozzie, just you wait. We all do it. Some of us do it purposely. Some of us do it without even realizing we're doing it. I'm sure you and I have unintentionally done it a million times on this show. But is it all helpful? I don't think so. What is your best just you wait story? What has someone said to you that either made you angry, sad, anxious, or all of the above?
The most common one that I've heard this time around is, if you thought life was busy with two, having three children, everyone keeps saying having one child feels like one child. Having two children feels like having five children, but having three feels like having 1,000. I'm like, shut up.
Just you wait, my friend. Just you wait.
Also, do you know what frustrates me the most? I haven't even birthed the child to experience what it's going to be like yet. And it may not be like that. I appreciate that, like, every Tom, Dick and Harry who, number one, doesn't have three children, keep saying this. Oh, I've heard that. Well, are you in it? Don't give me your solicited advice if you haven't had three kids. I don't want to hear about it. If you're in a different boat to me, don't offer advice. And for those people that are in the same boat, I've had a couple that have been like, it's really hectic, it's really that, it's really this, it's really whatever. But I'm like, well, I mean, you're not having a nervous breakdown. You seem fine.
Yeah, you're all right. I love that nervous breakdown's the threshold. Like,
you know, like,
that's what we're setting as the bar. Like, as long
you look put together, you look showered. You know, what do you want me to say to you? Oh, yeah, I can tell you look fucking haggard and
it's crazy. Really showing. That third child is really showing.
Imagine if that was my response. I've had two people say nice things and be like, it's great. I'm like, oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
What about first time around? Do you remember any just you wait moments?
So many. The first time around, I think, was the worst. More so though, from not from friends that had children, but from like that older parents, you know, oh, you're never going to sleep again. You'll never catch up on your sleep. You'll never have time to yourself. you know, you can kiss any date nights goodbye. You know, you'll notice your friendships really change because you just won't have the time.
Yeah.
Honestly, it baffled me. And this sounds terrible, but I want to debunk that myth. For me personally, if you have a good sleeper, I had more time than I've ever had in my entire life.
Yes.
And I didn't even know what to do with that time. I was like,
you were bored. Right. In the early days.
I was so bored.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, I thought this thing was meant to like need me all the fucking time. And some babies, as it turns out, my second did. Absolutely. But my first one.
He was like, you're bored now. I'll make sure you're not in the future, sweetie.
Exactly. But my first one.
He's like, just you wait, Zave said in the womb.
My first one like was fine. My second one caught me by surprise, but I just don't know that it's helpful. You can think it. I think it's okay to think it if I'm honest. I mean, look, we spoke about judginess
and
before.
A lot of it is true. Like your sleep will be impacted and all of those things, but it's just never worth saying to someone.
Yeah, it's not.
They know their life is going to change in ways that they can't quite see yet. Just let them be.
Exactly. What have been your worst?
Definitely the sleep thing. Definitely the relationship stuff, which I sort of didn't believe, which is funny with hindsight because Hayes and I have a great relationship, but it definitely challenges it in ways that I never could have known. So
yes.
Maybe I should have listened to the Just You Waiters, but I didn't. But really just the sleep thing and being a bit fearful of the lack of control of your life. Like the other biggest one I'd say was that idea of like, well, your life's never yours again. Like, you're just now at the whim of a child for the rest of your life. Like your life is never going to be yours again, which look, in a lot of ways is true in those early days, but it's not totally true. I have had great times away from my kids where I've felt like myself again. But I would say it's that sleep thing and how that then permeates into other areas of your life that probably got me the most scared. So I was pretty excited for first time motherhood, but those things that people say do freak you out. And probably also birth. People love sharing their war stories in birth, which I just don't understand why. Like, I understand that birth can be traumatic. Go see a therapist. Don't go talk to a pregnant person.
Yeah, I agree with that. I find it funny too that when people say just you wait, it's normally a negative just you wait. It's not. If I'm at the park and I see somebody having a tantrum, whatever, and they're like 3 years old, my just you wait would be like, it gets so much better. Just you wait. Yes. It
you
gets
bring
so
up
much
another
better.
One though is like, oh, you think a newborn's hard? Just you wait till they're two, which I've probably said on this show in other ways, like not directly to people. But that's another big one. It's like specifically being like, oh, you think they're hard now? Like there'd be other people at the park that have seen that tantrum and gone, oh, you think this is hard? Wait till they're talking back at you when they're 13.
I know, it's so unhelpful at the time too. And for me personally, I have found every age. As like your children get older, it gets better.
I could not agree more. Last night I was on the couch with just Ray. Posey went to bed. Hades had taken the kids to a barbecue in the early arvo and I was just too tired. I was like, I'm staying home. I'm not going. But then after he'd had them for a few hours, I said to him, you could stay and I'll come pick them up. They live around the corner, these friends. And I did all these gorgeous things to make it as easy as possible for me. I prepped the bath, prepped their bedtime stuff, all of that. Posey went down really easily, which was just lovely because, again, just you wait. 6 months ago, she was giving me absolute hell. Just you wait. It does get easier. And then Ray and I are sitting on the couch and one of my bestest friends on the planet is currently pregnant. And I messaged her and I was like, I'm so emotional thinking about all of the beautiful things you have ahead of you. Ray and I are just cuddling on the couch. Every age gets better and I can't believe all the beautiful things you have ahead of you. You're going to be on the couch with a newborn and that's delicious, like the most beautiful thing ever. And then you're also going to get to the age where your baby's nearly three and you're just like loved up on the couch watching a movie together. And it's the most, like I could cry. It's so beautiful. Every age, I couldn't agree with you more. And you've always said this. It just gets better and better.
It does.
And better.
I mean, there's obviously bad things, but majority of it, I'm like, oh, my favorite age is like, you know, three or three and a half. And now I'm like, oh, maybe it's like there's things I'm loving about Santa being four. Like there's just so many little things. And then she'll be in prep and I'll be like, ah.
Oh, I know.
I don't know.
Far out. That's going to be emotional. I'm not ready for that.
I'll just cry.
I'm glad your baby's not coming the exact same time because I feel like that happens for a lot of mums, which is fine, obviously. You can't time these things, but that would be such an emotional journey. So you'll be being a mum of three by then.
I said to Ryan the other day, I'm like, oh, we're in the car. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be the last, this is the last time I'm going to be pregnant. Like, how weird. And I was like, oh, and he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, I just don't know. I just don't know that I feel like ready, like this is the last one. And he looked at me and he's like, Oh, this we're is the done.
Last one, sweetie. I'm getting the snip as we speak.
He's like, we are done. He's like, he like enjoy
redirects
it.
The cast. He's like, enjoy it. Snip.
And I was like, do you really mean that? And he's like, absolutely. He's like, yeah. Like, yeah, I'm done. He's like, we're
done. It's interesting that you say that because I do truly think we're done it too. And the only thing that makes me sad, obviously, is what you're talking about, like last pregnancy and all of that. And I think you bring up a point where I don't think you ever really feel done.
No, I won't.
Which is so hard and devastating. Like, even if I went for my third, that's not going to satiate me. Oh, what a fourth. Like, it's wild. Yeah. It's such an emotional, like, it sounds like such a privileged thing to feel sad about because obviously so much can go wrong with fertility and babies and all of that. But it is gut-wrenching to have that feeling of like, I don't think I'll ever be done. I actually could cry right now. Before I do though, I want you to give me, for anyone out there who's expecting, growing their family, just in a rough patch with their parenting, give us your best three just you waits. Obviously positives. Imagine if you just came out swinging with all the negatives.
I would say just you wait. Every age gets better. I honestly believe that. I think there's pros and cons to every age, but from my experience, it has been so much more fulfilling every year that goes on being a parent. I'd also say just you wait. You will find your groove, your confidence, and however it is that you want a mum, like you'll nail it in your own way. I think most people, I definitely was, are so surprised with themselves. You know, there's so much that can go wrong in parenting. There's so much advice. But sometimes, like, you look at your children, you're like, I'm fucking doing a good job. Like,
especially, I think, for people like you who don't fall under, like, in your 20s, you didn't fall under, like, the maternal bracket. So I think that's a really nice thing is those people that are pregnant with your first baby, if you weren't the babysitter that was obsessed with babies from day one, it actually doesn't mean anything in motherhood. It means literally nothing. In fact, I think you've thrived quicker than I have, and I'm really feeling like I'm thriving now. But I reckon you've taken it on better than I do, and maybe that's because I always was so maternal and obsessed with babies.
I don't know about that, but I do think...
That's probably just me being really hard on myself.
It is, absolutely. No, but I do think sometimes like you need to look back and be like, I've kept this kid alive. They're happy. They're healthy. They're loved. They feel safe. I mean, really, as it's a pretty parent, big what thing. Are you wanting to offer? Yeah, exactly right. What else would be my last just you wait?
I want you to think of like one of those moments where you're like, wow, this is godly. Like, you know, those moments where you might be cuddling on the couch or doing something with your kids and you're like, there's nothing more beautiful than this, actually.
I reckon like, for me, nothing. Okay, I would say just you wait because I think the memories that you create with kids will be the best memories of your life. Yeah. Someone said to me not that long ago, because I love a holiday and I love traveling. They're like, why are you bothering to waste all this time? Like, your kids will never remember it. And it made me really think, it's actually not about my kids. It's about me. It's about me creating those memories with my kids that I'll remember while they're little and pure and innocent for as long as possible.
And they'll feel them. Like, they might not remember them intellectually, but they feel those things. They know, like, they know what they did when they were kids.
Yeah, for sure. But, like, I mean, the complexities of when they get older is they might not want to do the things you want to do, or they might, like, want to bring a friend, and then it changes the dynamic of, like, a holiday or whatever. But at this age, like, okay, yeah, traveling with kids can be really hard, but it's so rewarding. Like, I saw something the other day. There's all these memes going around that's like, what does it say? Like, traveling with kids is just having shit and like having a shit time in a different location, or, you know, it's like,
yeah,
I don't know, something
parenting
like that.
In a new location or whatever. Yeah,
but it was terrible.
But a bit more negative. Memes. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's all this negative stuff going around. I actually strongly disagree with that. I would say traveling with kids can be hard, but it is so rewarding, as in even if you get a glimpse of being in a different destination, in a different environment, and you look at your kids playing and everyone's so happy, hold on to that because that is just such, for me, I'm like.
That's magic.
It is magic. Like, I truly love that. I think traveling with your kids, doing something that's out of your comfort zone, like, well, I hate adventure park shit. I've done it so many times with my kids, and it's like a core memory of mine. I'm like, oh, I love that I did something that I hated, but also they had so much fulfillment and joy out of it. It's like that creation of like an experience for somebody else that you're not really going to have as a memory without children.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that, Lizzie. I think you've comforted a few people. Just quickly, I went to the polls, the digital streets on Ready or Not, pod, which we haven't done in a while. And I asked them, have you ever been on the receiving end of a just you wait comment when it comes to pregnancy or motherhood? What was the percentage of yes, do you think?
All of them, 99.9.
97. I'm even surprised that 3% of people said no. I'd like to be in their circles because their circles are a bit more forgiving than some. Next up, have you ever accidentally caught yourself saying something that sounds a lot like just you wait? So it might not be those exact words, but along the same lines, what do you think is the percentage of people that said, yep, guilty as charged?
Oh, 80%. Everyone's done it.
70%. I'm really sorry if you said nup, but
I think you're lying. Everyone's done it.
I think you've done it unintentionally without even realizing. Please don't get angry at me. And then last, Lozzie, because you are going from 2 to 3, I asked everyone on Instagram, what are your just you wait positive stories for me to pass on to our dear friend Lozzie? Just you wait for another chance to watch a little person grow up. Just you wait till you watch your babies welcome another baby into the family. It is so beautiful. Just you wait until the older children look after the third. Just you wait to see the bonds between 1 and 3 and 2 and 3. So different and yet so beautiful. Just you wait. I have 2 siblings and it rules. Always someone to hang out with and play with as a kid. Just you wait. The third is just going to slip right into the fold. Just you wait. It'll be great.
Yeah. Are you getting emotional? Lovely way to end. I am.
Yeah, you look emotional.
I really am. Like, I could cry.
I could cry because I'm so tired. Oh, my God. And that's nice. Oh, God, now I'm crying. Both cry on the show very often.
I think, you know what, I think it's like the emotions of it being, it like really is for me like the ending of a chapter and it feels so sad. Oh. So I'm like, this will be the last one. And also, look, I'm very pregnant and very like, emotional anyway. Yeah. But like I am so excited to see that family connection with my children. Yeah. Like I think that
I'll be a mess. Hayden needs to stay away from me because I feel like I could get impregnated right now.
I would genuinely be a mess. Like it's so sweet. Like Sienna's 4 and she's so excited.
Oh my God, she'll be so cute.
I can't wait to see that bond. And I think, I mean, you're a bit different, but for me, I grew up in a family of 2 kids. Like I'm so close to my brother. Yeah. But I'm like, this will be for me an experience like I've never
Oh my God, that's before. So never true. Seen. Whereas I'm so used to the chaos so of 4. Oh, that's really cute. I can't wait to meet your baby. You've made me, like, I've got goosebumps all over.
I honestly need
a big drink of water after this. And not just 2 sips, my 2 cups. Not 2 glasses.
Help me, 2 liters.
Oh, bless your soul. God. We're all excited for you.
We are. I am. I'm very excited. On that note, if you have loved listening to today's episode, please leave us a positive review. I'll probably cry about it, get excited about it, you know. Now's the perfect time in my fragile emotional state. And follow us on radionot.pod. And if you've got any questions or, you know, just interesting topics you want us to cover, save us from the research, like send them through. That's what
please,
we're here for.
Help us do less.
Help us.
Help me. Do less. Help you.
Adios. I'll see you next week.